This is Jay Sekulow. Venezuela in the news. Has it become the Syria of the West?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Opposition leader Juan Guaido traveling throughout South America, looking to increase pressure on disputed President Nicolas Maduro to step down. He may return home and could possibly face arrest by Maduro's forces if he does.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Venezuela is the Syria of the Western Hemisphere. We have the same actors. We have Russia, Iran, and Turkey. But if you add to this mix China plus FARC, ELN, Hezbollah, and 60 non-state actor groups armed that are acting against the civilian population, we are in the evidence of a proxy puppet Game of Thrones.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So, as you just heard, the opposition leader in Venezuela, Juan Guaido, has returned at risk to his own safety, by the way, to Venezuela. You also heard that Venezuela is the Syria of the West, and you just heard a list of the actors that are engaged in Venezuela. They sound familiar. Iran, Russia, you've got Hezbollah, Hamas, and it even goes further. So we need to understand here in the United States how important this issue is to the United States, to our country. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to spend this broadcast, at least a portion of this broadcast, talking about the situation in Venezuela. How pressing, Jordan, do you view it?
It's extremely pressing to, again, our U.S. national security interests because of the role that Venezuela plays in Latin America. As you'll often hear the president say, and the opposition leaders and now recognized leaders in Venezuela by the Western world, say that Venezuela should be the wealthiest, richest country in Latin America because of its resources. That unlike Syria, it has unbelievable amounts of oil and should be able to take care of its people. But under this socialist regime, what has it turned to? It's turned to groups like Hezbollah, not just allowing Hezbollah to operate inside Venezuela. Here's a scary thought. Venezuela gives out passports, birth certificates, and diplomatic documents to Hezbollah's agents and actors so that they can more freely travel around the world than, of course, they would on an Iranian passport or document. So they get diplomatic documents from Venezuela to Hezbollah, and that's been going on since the times of Hugo Chavez. That's right on our border.
Yeah, so, Harry, you look at the situation. You got the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, returning. He talked about the God-given liberties of the people of Venezuela, how their government should be functioning. Do we have that sound? I'd like to play that.
No one can take our God-given right of self-determination, of our God-given right of self-defense to protect our liberty and our sacred honor. And we will not go quiet into the night. Meanwhile, our country, men, women, and children, are being silently exterminated by this proxy puppet of U.S. American foreign enemies.
So you've got this, you know, they're talking, when you start talking about God-given rights, sounds a lot like our kind of democracy. It's a former Venezuelan Maduro official who's concerned about where their government has gone. What's your view of this, Harry? How serious, how significant?
Well, first we should note the close connection between Venezuela, Iran, Hezbollah, and drug trafficking. That close connection is clear beyond doubt. We should also note that the Venezuelan vice president is none other than Tariq El-Assami. Who is Assami? He was appointed vice president in 2017, and he has been linked to a major cocaine trafficking outfit and a jihadi terror network. So, in essence, drugs and terror are helping to prop up this illegal Venezuelan regime.
All right, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's a very serious issue. How do you view Venezuela? What do you think of this, the fact that our administration is pushing aggressively for a, what I would call, return to democracy in the region? We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want you to get your comments in by Facebook and Periscope as well. We'll take your phone calls as also. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We're going to have an update on our next segment after this about our case involving Pastor Saul. So we've got some pretty big news on that one coming. We'll save that for the next segment of the broadcast. We're talking about the situation in Venezuela, and that is, I think the biggest takeaway is that the opposition leader in Venezuela, Juan Guaido, has returned, and he returned at his own peril here, and that's what's happened. And when you look at the situation, I think you have to be clear that the reality is, and this is what I think you're dealing with, the reality that there is civil unrest, to say the least. But let's talk about what the nature of the fight is. What is the conflict between the two, Harry? Where is the opposition point?
Well, the opposition point with respect to Venezuela is the failure of the Venezuelan government to actually adhere to the rule of law. So it's no surprise that Venezuela, a socialist government, continues to engage in policies that are inconsistent with the rule of law. Nonetheless, in the United States, we have a major presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, who refuses to condemn Venezuela despite its ongoing human rights violations, in part because Mr. Sanders and former President Obama appear to prefer to lead from behind. So I think the American...
Do you think that created a vacuum which allowed this to develop like this, Harry?
Absolutely. So if you look at President Obama shut down Project Cassandra. What is Project Cassandra? In essence, it was a Bush-led effort to destroy the ties between Hezbollah and terrorism and drug trafficking. It turns out that the vice president of Venezuela, Tarek Asami, is connected, at least according to news reports, to both drug trafficking and terror campaigns. And so the human rights abuses that we see in Venezuela, the fact that people are starving in the streets, I think can be directly tied to the fact that the United States government during the Obama administration helped prop up, indirectly or directly, the Venezuelan regime, and the people of Venezuela are reaping the fruits of that. And so they are starving. They're eating garbage. And yet we find individuals in our country, presidential candidates, who refuse to condemn this oppressive regime that violates the rule of law on a day-to-day basis.
It was interesting because Nelly on Periscope. Oh, let's go ahead and take the phone call. Let's take a call. 1-800-684-3110. Getting a lot of good comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope, too. But if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
Janice calling in from New York online, too. Janice, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Janice.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a Trinidadian living in the United States for the past 25 years here. I live in Manhattan here in New York.
Yes.
Now, I'm very sorry for the people in Venezuela. They are our neighbors. You can see Venezuela, if you go to the southern end of Trinidad, a place they call Toco. You stand on the top of the hill there, a mountain peak. You can see Venezuela way over the seas, a little tiny dot there. Let me tell you something. I'm very, very hurt now. My son called me last night. He said, Ma, the Trinidad men going to southern Trinidad and picking up these women from Venezuela coming in boats and taking these women up and just bringing them to shore and taking them to the houses and sexual abusing these people.
Aye.
Come on, somebody got to do something. The people in Venezuela need help. And, you know, I was in Trinidad when we had the coup there with the Muslim take over the country in Trinidad and Tobago. And I know the starvation we had there on the streets, no food. The government has shut down with the Muslim people. And I know what it is. And Venezuela right now, it's very worse now than when Trinidad had the coup back then when they tried to overthrow the government.
Well, look, I think you raised the reality of what's on the ground. And yeah. I think that's something you always have to be looking at. What is the impact of this on the people of the country?
Yeah, well, you have people fleeing in boats and showing up on shores and again, being abused. Similar to what we talk about on our own southern border, this idea that people flee these economic conditions and they don't necessarily know what they're going to next or who to trust. And so human trafficking becomes a major problem. The Venezuelan government's not going to do anything to help right now. They're not even letting aid in from the United States. And so, again, it is a tipping point issue. And at a time, I think, when the U.S. should be united, and the world has been united in supporting the opposition in Venezuela, we've got to be able to convince enough of the Maduro higher-ups, the leadership, specifically the military there, and the National Guard there, which guards the president, which has also been linked to Hezbollah, by the way, and the Al-Quds force of Hezbollah, which is the terror force of Hezbollah, we've got to convince them to allow and to step aside and to allow the opposition to assume power temporarily and then hold free and fair elections. We are not trying to install another dictator in Venezuela. Right. I think we need to make that clear. This would be a temporary leader, Guaido, who would then call for the free and fair elections within months and that Venezuelans would be able to elect in a free and fair elections their next leader.
We have a good quote. Let's go ahead and play. Again, this is coming from you got a group of expats is what it is that are making statements. And you, if you want to get a sense of what the condition is in Venezuela, take a listen to this number 8.
We are in an extreme position. More than 500,000 Venezuelans have been killed by this weaponization of starvation. We have become also number one violent country in the world, and we have no control over our sovereignty. And as you notice, it's very slowly, a few hundred of the soldiers have been defecting, but that is not enough.
So I think you look at this, what's the role of the military here? Right now, are they with the current government?
Well, I think there's a split within the Venezuelan military. I think it's important to note that some members of the military, more likely than not, actually profit from drug trafficking. So I think the United States, in response to that, needs to restart and re-energize Project Cassandra and other efforts designed to cut off the flow of drug money to the members of the hierarchy in Venezuela. We also need to impose additional sanctions on nations that support Venezuela, and the Trump administration has stepped up its efforts in that regard. It is reimposing some additional sanctions on the Cuban regime, which is a strong supporter of Venezuela. But we also should not take our eye off of Iran. Iran has profited from its relationship with Venezuela. And so we should take every aggressive measure possible to go after the Iranian hierarchy and the Iranian government. We also need to re-engage with our international partners to bring additional pressure, sanctions on the Venezuelan government, so that even though the Venezuelan hierarchy may indeed enjoy some of the fruits right now, that we can deny them in the future access to their money, which is largely being held, according to news reports, in Western banks.
Yeah, so I think that we have to realize what's actually in play here. And the question that is being asked of our listeners, and again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. That was a great call from a former resident of Trinidad. And that is, what is the role of previous administrations that caused this to happen? In other words, let's do we only got 2 minutes here, but kind of a short history of what happened here.
Well, the United States allowed Hugo Chavez to run rampant in Venezuela. And there was one point where he was actually arrested by opposition leaders, but he was able to get his police and military back on his side very quickly, and he was released. And so he would come to the U.S., he would speak the anti-American language, but under the Obama administration, they just didn't really engage in a way that was constructive. Then Maduro comes along. He has, again, even more lack of sophistication than, I'd say, Hugo Chavez. And because of that lack of sophistication at the world stage, has allowed the country to be pillaged by many world actors, Harry, the Chinese, the Russians, and others, the Iranians, because of his lack of experience and as more of a thug. He's allowed the country to be pillaged, and now they're left with no resources whatsoever for their people.
I think that is correct, but we should not ignore the blind eye of the Obama administration toward the Maduro and Chavez regime. And we should not ignore the Obama administration's complicity in all of this because of its determination to secure the Iran nuclear deal. So that President Obama was consumed with an ambition to secure that Iran nuclear deal. So he ignored the drug trafficking, which supported terror in Venezuela. He ignored the plight of the Venezuelan people in his desire for this Iran nuclear deal. And so I think the Obama administration needs to accept a large share of the blame for what's going on in Venezuela today.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We're going to take a break from this topic for just a moment. We want to go to the situation with Pastor Saul. We've got some developments there. You know, our team was meeting in Washington last week on this, and then we've had some important meetings as well. I can tell you that the president and vice president are now fully engaged in this matter. And seeking his release. So we will talk about that when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Well, we're focusing on international matters today. We've been talking about Venezuela, but let me talk about one involving China, and that is the case involving Pastor John Saul, who is an American resident, permanent resident. Families are all American citizens. He's been ministering in China for years and years and years and got arrested. I want CC to give the history and then a little bit of where we've gone. And we've also had a major development at the United Nations on a case that we've got out right now for these Nigerian girls that were taken. A lot of moving parts internationally right now. But let's start with Pastor Saul's case.
Yeah, Pastor Saul has been a U.S. legal permanent resident for almost 30 years. He has lived out his faith in the United States, and he's lived out his faith in China. And for the past, or since 2013, he was helping the Wa state in northern Burma. Just humanitarian work, really reaching out to the poor, impoverished people there. And on March 5th of 2017, after working there for years with absolutely no problem, openly in front of both governments, China and Burma, he was targeted and arrested and has been sitting in prison for now literally almost 2 years. March 5th will mark 2 years.
There's been court proceedings going on, right?
That is correct. He has had the initial trial, which happened about a year after he was arrested. So he's arrested in March of 2017. He had his trial in March of 2018. He appealed immediately, so he should have had his appeal heard within 2 months. He has not. That has been delayed 4 times. So he has been sitting in prison for 9 months now, over 9 months now, without his appeal being heard. In prison for 2 years, but 9 months waiting an appeal.
And we have also made interventions, and we have one coming up, but we've also made interventions at the United Nations and other places as well.
Yes, we have. We've done international interventions, and we will actually be there in Geneva doing the oral intervention on March 15th on this case.
So that one is what's happening on that one. We are going to have a full one-hour special dealing with the pastor's case that'll air this week because we think there's, well, it's moving issues. I had the chance to meet with the president and the vice president about this, and the State Department's fully engaged, president's fully engaged, so is the vice president. So I expect that we'll start seeing some positive movement there now that it's reached that level. Now, another, we want to announce a win against Turkey in a international tribunal. We know that we saw the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson, which we were thrilled with at the latter part of last year. However, we have now had a really big win.
Yeah, we did. We actually got an opinion from the working group on arbitrary detention, which we told our listeners about. We filed a complaint there and against Turkey and went through the legal process, which is somewhat similar to a process here of a complaint and issuing answering and replies. And we just got the opinion published, and Turkey was basically found guilty. And they requested that they not only expunge Pastor Brunson's criminal record, which means get rid of it because he was not a criminal, and then actually pay him compensation and reparations as well.
So, Jordan, the fact that we've got an international tribunal recognized by the UN agreeing that not only was our client in the right, but that our legal position was correct, how significant?
It's very significant because it's though this process had to be handled ultimately to see his release, the politically between and bilaterally between the U.S. and Turkey. Now Turkey at the international level they can't just move past and say, okay, we dealt with the U.S. this way and we handled it. They've got this now on the record as they move forward internationally at the U.N. through this working group on arbitrary detention, which is very picky in how they choose which cases to actually even accept. I mean, that's something, Cece, to point out. Just being accepted for review is a difficult process.
Yeah, and that was a great opportunity that I had last year in Geneva to actually meet with them personally and do a submission, you know, to them personally. But they get, you can imagine, thousands and thousands, because there were thousands and thousands of people that were arbitrarily detained in Turkey, as there are in China. So they get these requests from all over the world.
Yep.
And then they have to go through because they can only make opinions on a certain few of them.
Right.
So Pastor Brunson's case was one of them, and we had a win.
That's a great win. And I appreciate, I know Cece's worked on this. You can't imagine the intensity level of working on these cases. It goes in phases. I mean, it's like you'll have it be quiet for like a month. But when it's not quiet, it is not quiet. And it can be literally 20 hours a day. And the time with the time differential, it can be, I mean, CC and I had calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, but which was 2 o'clock in the afternoon where our client was. I mean, this is what happens. But the good news, I think, on this, Harry, is that with CC's effort and her team's effort, we got an international tribunal to recognize that Turkey was wrong.
Absolutely important. And it's also important to note Turkey's history, which has been, troubled on these issues in the past. But I also think this new win advances the mission of the ACLJ in the international arena in making sure that the rule of law is adhered to by every nation, particularly when they deal with either American citizens or American residents.
We are also dealing with the situation in Nigeria. 15-year-old Leah Sharubu was kidnapped by Islamic jihadist group Boko Haram. This is something they're doing a lot, Jordan. They're demanding $275 million in ransom.
Right, huge amounts of ransom, and then to fund their jihadist activities. And they carry out many of their threats. I mean, very violent. Yeah. These are very violent groups who kill, torture, rape, imprison these young girls. And again, it also caused chaos in, you know, entire villages and communities that are attacked. And so these are most violent of the violent Islamic organizations operating, whether it's Boko Haram in Nigeria, and then in Somalia and Kenya, you have Al-Shabaab. And they used to all be united under that ISIS banner. Now that that banner has kind of been depleted, if you will, and defeated, they're rising up back as kind of these independent entities.
So what is the latest on that? What are we doing on that front?
Yeah, so Nigeria is one of the six submissions we made at the Human Rights Council, which is in their 40th session this month in Geneva. And we made six submissions. Nigeria is one of them. We focused on, obviously, Boko Haram and their atrocities, and especially with 15-year-old Leah Sharubu, who is, I mean, I can see this is my daughter, who is kidnapped and caught by Boko Haram, and they will not release her because she will not recant her faith in Jesus Christ and become a Muslim. And that's just not going to be, we're not going to stand for that. So we're demanding that the UN take action and get her released.
All right, so let me tell you what we're doing. You're seeing these various fronts. Talked about the situation in Venezuela. We've done a policy analysis on how all that plays out, what the strategic interests of the United States are. We'll talk more about that coming up. We've talked about what's happening right now in China with Pastor Saul. We now have the situation in Nigeria. All of these efforts around the globe are done because of your support of the work in the American Center for Law and Justice. We could not do what we do without your support. We're able to dispatch lawyers literally around the globe because of your support of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge month. Jordan's going to explain to you what that means and how you can support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, the matching challenge, folks, you double the impact of your donation. So if you go online to aclj.org, you'll see the matching challenge donation button right on the top of the homepage. You donate just like you would regularly. If it's your first time, you put in credit card information, choose the amount you'd like to give. That's what you're charged, $20, $30, $40. But for each one of those donations this month, your donation is matched. So if you donate $20, you're charged $20 to your credit card, but the impact of your donation is actually $40. So if you donate $30, it's $60. You can do the math. It's a doubling. So this is a great time. It's the first matching challenge month of the year in March to donate to the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, what we do in the United States, what we do around the world. So donate online now, aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. It's a great time to double your impact of your support to the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Venezuela is the Syria of the Western Hemisphere. We have the same actors. We have Russia, Iran, and Turkey. But if you add to this mix China plus FARC, ELN, Hezbollah, and 60 non-state actor groups armed that are acting against the civilian population, we are in the evidence of a proxy puppet Game of Thrones.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We are also talking about all of our internet. It ties right into our international work. So our senior counsel, CeCe Heil, is here. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, Jordan and I are here as well. Fans up on Capitol Hill. Let's go ahead and take a call right out of the break here. We're talking about the Venezuela situation first. Just to put it into a little bit of a context, you've got the, I would call it the Democratic opposition, going back into Venezuela.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so he is now, about half hour ago, it was confirmed that the recognized leader of Venezuela by the United States and much of the Western world, Western Europe, and other Latin American countries, Juan Guaido, has re-entered after touring other Latin American countries and working on the trying to get aid into Venezuela. He's re-entered. The question now will be, is he going to be arrested? I mean, this just happened last half hour. So there's a lot of questions about what will the Maduro government and its allies try and do, or will they try and do anything? He was actually in an interview, too, as well, about this. What are the chances that he's going to be arrested? Take a listen by 11.
Do you not accept that there is a strong chance you'll be arrested on your arrival?
Yes, there is no doubt. But remember that the exercise of politics in Venezuela is criminalized, not only towards me. Today there are 1,000 political prisoners in Venezuela. Today there are political assassinations in Venezuela.
Let's go to Geraldine calling in from South Carolina on line one. Geraldine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi. You guys, I'm very thankful that you guys are speaking about my country. I'm very, very honored.
We're glad to do it. So what's your experience? What do you think?
Well, I heard you guys talking about Guaido and what's the fact that, you know, that he's now in the country and that he's going to be arrested. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen there. You know, Maduro has taken away all the media, and everything that we know is based on, you know, people that have left, that have worked in the government on the opposition side, and not really everybody knows what's going to happen. You know, I don't think, in my opinion, and you know, I left my country 20 years ago. I'm very involved with what's going on. I'm a passionate and of politics. I'm a dentist. And I started, you know, my life here in,
yes,
America. But you know, the thing is that nobody knows what's going to happen.
I think that when you have an international upheaval, CeCe, and we've looked at these because we've had cases where there's, yes, been Sudan, where there's been upheaval going on, the unknown is really an issue. So you don't know exactly how it plays out.
That's exactly right. And that's with all of our international cases. We, you know, it's country to country, and it's these leaders of government that just are, you don't know what's going to happen from day to day, really from moment to moment. Like Jordan just said, I mean, it was just moments ago that we have a leader, a second leader kind of going into a country. You don't know if it's going to
you
work this time
them?
Or not.
I think it's probably a 70-30 chance that he gets detained somehow because he's made this move.
The allies of Maduro, though, are the Russians.
Yep.
Chinese.
Iranians.
Iranian.
Cubans. I mean, basically the bad
actors
in the world.
All right. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This impacts so many people in the United States. I mean, there's so many, yeah, Venezuelan exiles with family in Venezuela. And I think the Cubans in America also understand what Venezuela is going through as well. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. We have our matching challenge right now. It's the first matching challenge month of the year. Double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a five-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The broadcast. Everyone, we're taking your phone calls and comments coming in at 1-800-684-3110 or via Facebook and Periscope. Great comment came in from Margie, and that is, what should America's involvement be in Venezuela?
Well, it's interesting because Juan Guaido was asked about this. He was asked specifically about Mike Pence's comments and U.S. military engagement. Now, this is dubbed over into English, but I think it's important to point out how he sees the idea of a military intervention or what's happening right now in Venezuela. Take a listen, Byte 13.
When you spoke to Mike Pence, it was reported that you were happy that he left all options on the table for the United States with this. Why is the possibility that military force could be used important to you?
The dilemma between peace and war is a false dilemma. Today in Venezuela, they are massacring the people. There is in Venezuela a silent genocide when you can't find medication for critical patients. Today in Venezuela, 3 weeks ago, 8 minor children died from diarrhea and vomiting. No one dies in a normal world, but they had a severe malnutrition diagnosis.
So let me go to Harry on this. From a policy standpoint, what is the U.S. options of reaction here?
Well, first we should note that Venezuela used to be the richest country in Latin America, and now it's the poorest.
And how long of a period of time did that take place, Harry?
Probably over the last 15 to 18 years.
So this hasn't been going on for 5 decades. This is like the last 60 years. You're talking about since the late 90s, mid-90s?
Absolutely. So with the Hugo Chavez regime, then he passed away, Maduro took power, and the Venezuelan regime has essentially weaponized political disputes, in other words, to sustain itself in power, and they've been aided and abetted by Hezbollah, drug cartels, Russia, and the Cubans. And so Maduro surrounds himself with his own secret police department, largely comprised of Cubans. And so I think the United States has to widen the net with respect to sanctions. First, it has to re-energize and relaunch its Project Cassandra to deprive the Maduro regime of funds through drug cartels. This would also help with respect to our war on terror. We also need to impose direct sanctions on the Venezuelan media. And also Russians who are involved, Cubans, and to some extent Turkey. These things need to take place with a force, and we also need to make sure that no one escapes the reach of the American government. We also need to work with our international partners to make sure that aid reaches the desperate Venezuelan people who are being shot when they seek aid in the form of food from foreign countries. So all of those things need to be done. They need to be done expeditiously. And I think the Trump administration is on the right track in raising sanctions on Cuban officials. And that was announced recently.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I did have a question, too, about the matching challenge at ACLJ.org, that March is the first month for our matching challenge. And Linda wrote in, how does the matching challenge work? It's very simple from your standpoint as a supporter of the ACLJ or potential donor to the ACLJ. You go to ACLJ.org. On the top of the homepage, it says matching challenge. You click on that. You make a normal donation. You put in your information, a credit card information, the amount that you want to donate. Whatever amount you donate is then doubled. So we have matching challenge months where we have a group of donors ready to match whatever we're able to raise. So they're ready to match it. You've got to be, but you've got to take that initial step and make that donation for the matching to kick in. So if you go online to ACLJ.org, and I hope, Linda, this answers your question. Maybe we can see if it does for that came in on Facebook. If you go online, you make that donation, you're effectively doubling the impact. So let me just give you an easy example. $25, that's what you're charged. That's why if you choose to donate $25 on your credit card at ACLJ.org, and that's your donation. But effectively, the match then kicks in, and you've donated $50 to the ACLJ, but only it only has cost you $25. That's what you've donated. So if you donated $50, that would, again, effectively become $100. But it's only you've only been credited $50 that you've been charged. So, again, this is a very key time where we can really increase the support that we have at the ACLJ. We are taking your phone calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go listen to... Anna on Facebook wrote it, I am from Venezuela. I thank the U.S. for their support and for being a force to bring back democracy to Venezuela. Here's Mike Pompeo talking about the threats from inside Venezuela by 27.
People don't recognize that Hezbollah has active cells. The Iranians are impacting the people of Venezuela and throughout South America. We have an obligation to take down that risk for America.
I mean, what scares me is that the Venezuelan government, Harry, has not just given kind of free rein to Hezbollah to operate within Venezuela, but they've handed out passports, birth certificates even. So you can actually, as a Hezbollah recognized terrorist that we may have on a list, get a new Venezuelan name, get a new birth certificate, and a new passport. Basically a new identity that is, again, on the one sense we've talked about this, it is legitimate in the sense of the documentation. You're getting real government documentation, but fraudulent in the sense of who you're representing yourself to be.
Absolutely. So the American people need to represent that there are direct and unmistakable enemies of the United States who are operating within the Venezuelan regime. None other than Tariq El-Assami is the vice president of Venezuela.
Lebanese, right?
And he is essentially a Lebanese Syrian,
yep,
with direct ties to both terror networks and drug cartels. And he has led the effort in issuing fraudulent, in effect, passports,
yeah,
to Iranians and members of Hezbollah. And so this poses a direct threat to the United States. And it underscores the necessity of securing our borders and improving our border security, because some of those operatives doubtlessly want to enter the United States as potential terror cells. And so it's very, very important, and most Americans need to take the situation in Venezuela seriously, because it poses a direct threat to the United States, plus it destabilizes Latin America.
So, Cece, when we look at our international cases, we always know you've got to get inside what's going on locally inside that state government. Venezuela's in chaos. The question is, and this is the question for the international community, what is going to be the reaction of the United Nations? And when you have actors like Russia and Syria and China and Turkey and others and Hezbollah and Hamas, Does that bring in the same groups we're fighting on every one of these cases?
Well, it does. And you know what? I'm looking at who we're talking about and even the oral interventions. You know, we had one on China and Nigeria and Myanmar and then ISIS, which ropes in Iran. And, of course, Pastor Neda Carney, who's Iran. And so these are kind of the same players who have human rights violations, and they're bad actors all around. If the UN would ever get really organized and make an organized effort of slamming what's going on in these countries.
But how do they do that when you've got the major players? You've got Russia, a member of the Permanent Five. You've got Turkey and China. I mean, you've got all these P5 members.
Right.
G20 countries. I mean, how do you do it?
Right. And I think then it falls on the shoulders of the United States because we're the big actor that's left.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what happens at the end of the day? That despite what you can do with the United Nations and the international tribunals, at the end of the day, the question is, what is the United States going to do about it?
Yeah, that's right. What action is the U.S. willing to take? So we took that first step, which was recognizing the opposition leader as the valid leader of Venezuela. And then other countries followed suit. So other Latin American countries, other Western European countries have followed suit as well. But we had to take the first step. We have tried to get the aid in, even though the Maduro government has literally blocked the roads and blocked the bridges with flatbeds, 18-wheelers, that are to block the aid from coming in. They may arrest the recognized leader today. He's just returned in the last 40
minutes. What's
the risk
for them in arresting him?
Upping the ante of this whole issue of the protests in their own streets and possibly...
How many people are out in the streets right now?
You know, I think it's difficult because as they've said, you go out in the streets there, you could get shot.
Yeah, and they've cut the media off pretty much, right?
Yeah, I think that they're getting real information outside of what's happening like in the border or if it's propaganda from the government. So we see that they were willing to shoot at their own people, trying to bring in the aid. People were killed. And we see propaganda. We don't see a lot anymore from Caracas itself and kind of the main hubs of Venezuela.
All right, we're going to be taking your calls when we come back. I will tell you this. I do think it's important, and I really do think it's important. You understand the scope and nature of what we do at the ACLJ. We know about these issues because we're engaged in these issues. And your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. And March is a matching challenge month for us, which means any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. Jordan's going to give you the details. We encourage you to do it. We've got an email going out on our situation with Nigeria that we're working on right now at the UN. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yep. It's our matching challenge. First matching challenge month of the year. As we said, whatever you donate, it's effectively doubled. So if you make a $30 donation online right now at ACLJ.org, that's what you're charged on your credit card, $30. We've got a donor who are ready to match that $30, so it becomes $60 for the ACLJ. Take advantage of it. It's a great time to double your impact and your support for the ACLJ.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Fascinating program today, if I might say, on dealing with these global issues. Interesting comment coming out of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez regarding Venezuela. Take a listen.
I am very concerned about U.S. interventionism in Venezuela, and I oppose it, especially when we talk about a figure like U.S. Special Envoy Elliot Abrams here. I think he's pled guilty to several crimes related to Iran-Contra, and I don't think that we should be, you know, I am generally opposed to U.S. interventionism as a principle, but particularly under this administration and under his leadership, I think it's a profound mistake.
Okay, so she, interventionism in Venezuela. First of all, there's been no, would she call interventionism, Harry, the recognition of the Probably. Opposition? Leader as president?
I think that is correct, but I think she fails to understand that at least 50 other countries have recognized the opposition leader as the rightful leader of the Venezuelan government, in addition to which Ms. Ocasio-Cortez fails to recognize that Maduro has committed numerous crimes against humanity in his own country. So apparently she is prepared to allow those crimes to continue and to increase perhaps exponentially, at least from her perspective and perhaps from the perspective of Bernie Sanders. It's all right if the Venezuelan people starve in the street. It's all right if Maduro actually shoots the Venezuelan people. It's all right if the Venezuelan people continue to starve and perhaps die of thirst. So I don't know where she is in terms of her view of human rights, but apparently she is prepared to choose a socialist dictator who has voided the rule of law over freedom and liberty.
Hannah on Facebook says this, I'm from Venezuela. Thanks the United States of America for your support and being a force to bring back democracy to Venezuela. When democracy is returned, we have seen time and time again, or even the symbolism of democracy, Cece, we end up with a much more just and better result.
Yes, and the people are clearly not ruling here. I mean, we just heard, and again, as a mother, when we hear someone saying there were just children that are dying simply because they're being starved to death. Doesn't happen.
As a weapon. I mean, it's being done as a policy move.
Yes, and that shouldn't happen. And so, you know, for the people to hopefully get a voice and be represented, and a leader at the very least should be required to care about the people that he's leading, and clearly he does not.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. So we got a lot of good comments coming in. One is from Ryan on Facebook. Is the administration working on the release of Pastor Saul? If you missed it, yes, at the highest levels. Both the president has now been engaged, the vice president. I met with both of them this week on this. And also, importantly, I think, is the fact that we have a significant engagement from the State Department as well, correct?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. We met as well, and we met with we had House and Senate meetings. We met with the Vice President's office, and we met with the State Department, and in particular, Ambassador Brownback, who is the Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. So very well aware of Pastor Saw's case, very much engaged, and so, you know, we're hopeful that we will see a good result soon.
Jordan, what do you think?
I think on that situation, again, I think that it's one where it's not at the level of like an Andrew Brunson level. And I think because China being that much bigger of a country with this population, 1.3 billion people, and the relationship between our two countries, even though we're in these trade negotiations now and tariffs, we're economically pretty dependent on each other. China is a country, is one of those countries where the president can pick up the phone and easily have someone like this released and then ultimately returned back home to their family. And so I think that it's a good sign, again, engaging at the international level as well, but also at the bilateral level at a time when it has not been elevated. And China is such a big country that to elevate to the level of kind of like this becoming a name to the Chinese government is – really only happens if the U.S. leader does it. And a lot of that can happen behind the scenes because this is still in a local court, yep. not their national court system. And it can happen by the Chinese president stepping in immediately.
Mary Ellen on Facebook asks this. How can we get foreign aid into the country with Maduro's regime blocking it?
Well, one of the things that we can do is we can work at putting pressure on the Venezuelan regime by putting pressure on the Europeans who continue to support the Iranian nuclear deal. That's one thing that we can do. Number two, we need to engage international support for an international, perhaps UN convoy that delivers food and material aid to the Venezuelan people.
Penny on Facebook wrote in, isn't it concerning that this sort of socialism is finding a foothold in Congress? I mean, Harry, they'll try to do this distinction, say, well, they don't really like Venezuelan socialism so much as they like the idea of the Nordic country socialism, which, by the way, is capitalism with just bigger social welfare programs and very small populations compared to the United States. But when they talk about socialism, this is what happens. This is the ultimate outcome of real socialism is a disaster for the people.
I think that is precisely correct. Socialism leads inevitably to authoritarianism. And so if you look, for instance, at the Green New Deal proposed by Ocasio-Cortez, what would she have to do in order to achieve her goals and objectives? She would have to prevent the American people from eating beef. She would prevent the American people from traveling on planes. And she would force all Americans to retrofit their houses, their get rid of perhaps their cars. And so essentially socialism is the road to authoritarianism, and it's impossible to deny the connection between authoritarianism and human rights abuses. Look at what happened during the Stalin administration in the Soviet Union. Between 50 and 100 million people were killed. And so if you look at what's going on or went on historically in China, during the Mao period, again, tens of millions of Chinese were killed. So socialism leads to authoritarianism, leads to human rights abuses.
Folks, again, we appreciate everybody tuning in today with your comments, your questions as well. Would update you on the situation in Venezuela. We are going to do a special show just on Pastor Saul's situation in China, his imprisonment there, the work that we are doing both internationally at international institutions like the UN, as well as here in our own country to engage at the highest levels, the president, the vice president's office, to engage with their counterparts in China as well, to see that Pastor Saw is ultimately returned home to his family here in the United States. So look for that show later this week. But let me encourage you right now, Friday was the first day. So if you weren't tuned into the show on Friday, now that's a Monday, this is the first matching challenge month of the year. And what do I mean by matching challenge month? It's the first month where your donation is effectively doubled to the American Center for Law and Justice. So whenever you donate to the ACLJ online at aclj.org, that donation is doubled. So I want to explain it today because I know a lot of people, again, Friday shows, they may have missed it. That was the first day of the matching challenge. But what it means, if you donated right now online at aclj.org, you go there, you'll see the matching challenge right at the top of the homepage, and you donated $25. That's what you're charged on your credit card. But that donation is like $50 to the ACLJ because we have donors ready to match each donation during the month of March. But you have to make the initial donation. We have to get the donation first from you to get the match. So double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.